We're going to start looking at a scripture that Pastor Ben knew I would be using. Go to 3 John. And of course, it's chapter 1 because there's only one. Verse 2. 3 John 2. And it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." That is a great prayer. That you might prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Now, I told Pastor Ben, I'm a prosperity preacher. Actually, I'm more a teacher than a preacher, but I don't apologize for that. You know, prosperity preachers kind of have this, well, this bad connotation in much of the Christian world. But I am a prosperity preacher because I believe it is God's desire, His expressed desire, that you and I prosper, that we do well. Amen? Psalm 35:27 says, God takes pleasure in the prosperity of His people. He likes it when His people prosper. That's a good thing. I like to be pleasing to God. I like it when He's pleased that I am doing well. Now, any intellectually honest person would have to admit all things, notice it says, I pray that you may prosper in all things includes your finances. Yes? Most people are okay with prospering in their mental health, prospering in their relationships socially, prospering in their marriage, prospering in their family as far as the relationships go. But when you start to move over into the financial side, people sometimes get a little squeamish. That ought not be, because finances are part of all things. All things. Now, this message is meant to be somewhat in step with our recent studies on stewardship. I want you to prosper. But if you're going to prosper, you first have to be prosperous in your soul. Amen? Amen? That's the first step. Your mind, your will, and your emotions need to prosper. A prosperous soul is the beginning of a prosperous life in all things. So some of the things I'm going to talk about might refer more to finances than others, but in all things, all of these elements apply. Okay? Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Another version says this. It says, "To seek His way of doing and being right." Instead of saying seek the kingdom, it relates that to seeking His way of doing and being right. And that really, again, is the key to prosperity. Doing things the way that is right. Doing things God's way. The truth is, just because you claim the name of Jesus, that doesn't assure prosperity. It doesn't assure prosperity. You have to seek God, and you have to seek God His way, and you've got to seek living the right way, or you will not prosper. Or the prosperity you may experience will not be a prosperity of joy. There'll be torment and pain and difficulty as a result. Now, my goal is to steer you tonight in the right way to prosper. Right? If we're going to seek His kingdom, if we're going to seek His way and do things the right way, well, there are right ways for us to learn. We're going to focus on six basic areas. I'll give you a list here. Number one, walking in truth. Two, faithfulness. Three, diligence. Four, tithing. Five, sowing. And six, believing. Those are the six areas I'm going to cover. Now, as I mentioned, I'm more a teacher than I am a preacher. And for a teacher, when I sit down and try and put together a lesson, I want to cover everything from A to Z. I want to do it all. I want to make sure that when we're done, you understand everything about that topic. Well, that's not going to happen tonight. And you can praise God, because we'd be here for hours and hours. So in the message that I'm sharing with you tonight, there are huge holes that I can't take the time to fill. But if you'll just take the parts that I'm able to give you tonight and apply those to your life, you're going to be blessed. And you will begin to see greater prosperity in your lives in all areas. Okay, I'm going to continue to say all areas, because I don't want you to just think I'm only talking about finances. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your benevolent desire for us to prosper, for us to do well, for us to be well in every area of life. And Lord, I understand that this is an opportunity for your word to be implanted into hearts, to be revealed in a way that may not have been seen before. And I pray that by your Holy Spirit, these great things take place. And we ask, Lord God, that you would just help me to be clear, to be concise, to get this message out in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If we go just a couple of verses farther in third John to verse 4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that is the first item that I spoke of. Number one, walking in truth. We're talking about the right way to prosper. Number one, walk in truth. The moment you believe, there's an immediate change that takes place. But that change is on the inside of you. To change the outside, you have to start walking a different way. You have to start walking in that truth. The first step to prospering in every area of life is walking in truth. Now, I've got six items I've got on the list. They're not necessarily in any particular order of importance, other than I would say this one might be the most important of all of these items that I mentioned. Walking in truth, because the other things just don't happen and can't happen without truth. So we need to first walk in truth. That means walking in the light of God's word. Walking according to his ways, walking according to his wisdom, walking according to what he says is right, not what we think is right. And you know, I'm often baffled, and I'm sure you are too, to a certain extent, when you run into Christians who are devoted and they are interested in following the Lord, and then they have these little areas that are outside of God's will, that are certainly not his desire for their lives, and yet they are walking that way instead of the right way, God's way. And it's like, you see so much here, but you're missing the whole point over on this side. And that's going to hinder you. That's going to drag you back. That's going to keep you from moving ahead in the kingdom of God and in your own life and in prosperity. When you do walk in faith, in the truth, you are guaranteed the blessing. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right? John 8, 31, 32. And I'm not talking about just reading the scriptures. I'm not talking about, you know, we're on this idea of prosperity tonight, not just going through and finding all the scriptures that deal with prosperity and you just read those. No. You prosper when you walk in the words that God speaks to you, that God has given you. That's the wisdom of God. Walking in truth is essential. Walking in truth is living a godly lifestyle. It's living in obedience to what God says is right. See, the blessings of God are outlined for us. In fact, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. God outlines a whole list of blessings for you that are a result of obedience. In Deuteronomy 28, I'll read verses just 1 and 2. It says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Man, that's the kind of life I want to live. Where all these blessings come upon you and overtake you. I want to be overtaken by blessings. Yes. I mean, that may sound selfish to you, but it's a promise here. It's a promise if we are obedient, blessings will overtake us. All of these blessings will come upon us. And you can read through, you know, all the way to verse 14 of the blessings that will come upon you. But it's because people walked in truth, in obedience to God's word. God has always blessed an obedient people. Isaiah 1:19 says, "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." I like that one. I mean, that's one of the things I think I'm a prosperity type teacher, because there's so much good stuff in this that God has promised to us. Now let me make a couple of points here. We have to be careful when we're talking about prosperity that, number one, we don't judge prosperity based on how the world determines prosperity. Okay? Because if that's your only perspective, then unless you're living in mansions and flying in jet planes and have, you know, multiple houses, you're not prosperous. Well, that's the world's definition of prosperity. Don't get caught up in that. All right? And I got big holes in this message. I wish I could stop right here and just teach on what true biblical prosperity is. Don't have time for that. The other thing I want to caution you on is not to judge others by what you perceive as their level of prosperity. Don't judge others by what you see as their level of prosperity. If you see somebody who isn't doing what you think is well in a financial way, and automatically assume, oh, well, they must not be walking in the blessing of God. That's good. Oh, be very careful with that. You know, I often think, as I said, I believe it's God's desire, his expressed desire, that we prosper, that we do well. I think it's God's expressed desire that we live free. Not in bondage, not held captive, you know, particularly for any reason that isn't legitimate. But you know, Paul was held captive. Paul was in prison. Somebody who was judging Paul based on his circumstances might look at Paul and say, "Boy, he must have done something really bad. God must not really love him. Look, he's stuck in prison. He can't get out." So you have to be careful. Paul was exactly where God wanted him to be. Paul was, I'm sure, because of his spiritual maturity and his relationship with the Lord, freer than most anybody else that was outside of prison walls. But you could mistake that if you were judging Paul on what your perception was. So you have to be very careful. Again, back to prosperity thinking. We can't judge people based on what we believe prosperity is. All right, moving right along. God can always do something with a person who is willing. That's part of walking in the light, walking in faith, walking in the truth. If you are willing to obey, willing to be obedient to what God has shown you, the right way, God can work with that. And how many of us know people who, when you look at them today and you hear their testimony, you think, how in the world did God ever rescue them from themselves? How in the world have they become what they are that I'm looking at now, and the person that I see and in many ways can admire, when I know 20 years ago, they were just a wreck on the train tracks. Their life was almost finished. They're lucky to be alive. And yet, look what God can do. How God changed that situation was they began to walk in truth. Walking in truth. Number two, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Matthew 25:21. I'll let you get there in a moment. Well, I won't necessarily wait for you. You know this scripture well. It's where his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Faithfulness. Faithfulness is the right way to prosperity. Oh, man. Faithfulness is the right way to prosperity. The force of faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit that you received when you were born again. Notice what happens for this man who was faithful. God entrusted him with something, he was faithful with it, and God gave him more. He increased because of his faithfulness. How faithful are you? And again, we're talking all areas of life. How faithful are you? It's important for your prosperity. Webster's Dictionary defines faithful as full of faith, believing, and strong or firm in one's faith. But this is the part I think that applies to us in this term, faithful. Firmly adhering to duty, a true fidelity, loyal, true to allegiance, constant in the performance of duties or services. See, a faithful person is consistently doing what is right. A faithful person is consistently doing what is right, even if it looks like it could be to their disadvantage. Sometimes being faithful might be detrimental in some areas, but it always pays off in big dividends in the long run. So be faithful. Be faithful. We can't be godly without being faithful, because God is faithful. You know, if you want to be more godly, be more like God, and God is supremely faithful. Are you faithful? Are you faithful? I could go a lot of different ways with that. Maybe I better not. But again, in all areas of life, are you faithful in your study? Are you faithful in your prayer? Are you faithful in your work and your workplace? Are you faithful in your marriage? If we are not faithful in any of these areas, it's going to hinder our success. It's going to be harmful to your life in many ways. Faithfulness is so important. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Aren't you glad God is faithful? Aren't we so glad that he is faithful? 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." I just want to encourage you to faithfulness. Can other people count on you? Can they trust in you? If you say, "I'm going to do such and such," is your word your bond? Are you faithful to that? I mean, let's be honest. None of us are perfect. Things happen. But man, those should be very rare. The times when something else comes up and you can't fulfill the promise that you made or the commitment that you have, it ought to be very rare. And thank God in those cases, there's grace. Hallelujah. But there are some who are very easy to make a commitment, very easy to give a promise, and very easy to let it slide. We don't want to be those kind of people. It will not get you to prosperous. The right way to prosperity is through faithfulness. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to His Word. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, God is looking for faithfulness. It says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. So if you want to get God's attention, He's looking for faithful. He's looking for faithful people. Searching to and fro. Once you find the promise in the Word, don't disqualify yourself for receiving it because, well, God would never do that for me. Because remember, God is faithful. If He made a promise, He will uphold it. If He made a promise, if His desire is that you are prosperous and do well in all areas, He is going to fulfill His part. So don't discount yourself out of any of those promises because He is faithful. Even if you are not, He will remain faithful. Let God's Word change your thinking in this. You will prosper in every area as your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, as your soul prospers in the understanding about these areas that we're talking about walking in truth, about being faithful. That is, provided you take and act on that knowledge, which, of course, we can say about pretty much everything we find in the Word. If you don't act on the truth that you have, if you're not faithful to follow through, you're not going to see the blessing that comes with it. Be faithful to keep meditating on the promises of God. Be faithful to keep meditating on those until you see those promises overtake your life. Oh, I want those promises to overtake my life. I want the blessings to just overtake me, overtake my family, overtake my church. Amen? Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 23 says this. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Be faithful to keep that word in front of you. Be diligent to keep that word in your heart. In fact, Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. The right way to prosperity is through faithfulness and diligence. That's number three, diligence. Faithfulness, if you are faithful, that will actually energize you to be diligent. Even if you've never been that way in the past, I promise you, if you make a point to be a faithful person, diligence will be a natural result of that. Diligence will be a natural result. The Word repeatedly says we are to diligently seek God, that we're to listen to what He says, and we're to obey His commands. Why? Why is diligence important? As I read in Deuteronomy 28, that second verse, it says, when you hearken diligently, blessings will overtake you. Because according to Hebrews 11:6, He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Diligence is probably the one area I think we often miss in this whole prosperity thing. See, oftentimes we get a misunderstanding of prosperity and God's desire to prosper us, and people get this concept that if I love God, God is just going to pour out blessings upon me. They're just going to fall from heaven. whatever I need is just going to be there. Well, diligence prospers you, as Proverbs 10:4 says, the hand of the diligent makes rich. What does that mean? That means you have a hand in it. See, it's not just going to fall from the sky. You are going to be a part of your own prosperity if you apply diligence to your life. We're talking about prospering the right way. Don't get into get-rich-quick schemes. That doesn't work. There's all kinds of failure and heartache for you down that path. The path to biblical prosperity is paved with diligence. It is important to be diligent and faithful to God in your spiritual walk, but also in your natural walk as well. Diligence is for every area of your life. Every area of your life. Make a decision to be diligent at church, in your prayer life, in putting the Word of God first in your life. Be diligent in these areas, and of course, in the actual work that you do, in your job. And if you're not employed by some employer, as a student in your schoolwork, as a housewife in the work that you have to do, as a father, be diligent in the job of parenting your children. We need to be diligent in all of these areas. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is to this day." God has given you the power to get wealth. Didn't say He's given you wealth, but He's given you the power. And that's not just talking about diligence only, but I tell you what, without diligence, there is little power. There is little power. I think in our society, we've often expected things without hard work. And more, I think, of our society is going to the direction of, I just deserve it. Mm-hmm. I should have it because, well, everybody should have it. It's the right of everybody should have something like that. Why should they have it and me not have it? And we're losing our concept of being diligent in our work and in our own prosperity. We want other people to be diligent enough so that they can pass it on to us. We're somewhat negligent in being diligent ourselves. If you want to prosper the right way, don't depend on other people's diligence. You be the one who's diligent. You be the one who's diligent. In Genesis 26, there's a story in there about Isaac. And the scripture that I want to pull out of this story is it says this, Isaac sowed, there's famine in the land. And in verse 12 it says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." Verse 13, "The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous." Now, understand, there's a famine in the land. There's a drought. Isaac is sowing seed in that land at that time, and he's blessed. Now, think about this. How much blessing would Isaac have received had he not sown? What kind of a harvest would he have had? This is a supernatural blessing of God. He had harvest 100-fold, 100 times what he planted, he received back. How much would he have received had he not planted? God was desiring to bless him, but God used his own diligence, Isaac's own diligence, in order to have a conduit for that blessing. And if you will be diligent, God will bless you. God promises to bless the work of your hands, but there has to be work for God to bless. Amen? I mean, we just, sometimes it seems so logical. And yet, we miss it. It's like, well, yeah, it makes sense. If I work, I might see some profit from that. Okay. The right way to prosperity. I tell you, a crucial part to receiving is sticking with the Word of God, the Word that you've received. Don't quit. Stay faithful. Be diligent with what God has told you to do, and do. Do it. And if, you know, sometimes, again, none of us are perfect here. If you make a mistake, okay. Admit it, repent, and get back on track. That's part of being faithful, right? Oh, I promised. Oh, but I fell from that promise. Okay, let me get back to it. I'm going to be faithful. The fourth thing, I better start hurrying up. Still have 4, 5, and 6. Tithing. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with all the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. That sounds like a prosperity scripture to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you honor the Lord with your first possessions, it says your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. I know that, again, can make some people a little squeamish. Well, he's saying if you tithe, then God's going to bless you. And yeah, that's what it says. That's the way I read it. I remember when I was first confronted with the idea of tithing, I didn't like it. Honestly, I didn't like it. I was even mad at the people that told me about it. I was like, oh, get out of here. God doesn't need my money. But as I came to understand it was God's plan, I began to tithe. See, I found truth and I began to walk in that truth. And I became faithful to walk in that truth and diligent about making sure that the tithe was paid to God. And at first it looked impossible. At first 10% seemed like a whole lot of money to get out of my tiny little budget. But I did it. It was a step of faith for me. And now I wouldn't think of going back. You know, that 90% that I hang on to goes a whole lot farther than that 100% used to. Tithing is a covenant transaction that gets God involved in what you are doing. You tithe. You be faithful and diligent to that work. And God says, I will bless. It's kind of we could spend an awful lot of time on tithing too. Let me just say, the first 10% of your income, the first 10%, that's the tithe, that belongs to God. It's devoted to God, and it goes to support his church, the place where you get spiritually fed. So make sure that your tithe goes to your local church. I mean, some people would like to say, well, it's not so important. No. I've studied it. Tithe should go to your local church where you're getting spiritually fed. That's where the tithe goes. But tithing is more than just helping pay the church bills. It's how you honor God. You honor God with your life. You honor God with your finances. You honor God with your time. Amen? Tithing is just another way, an important way that we honor God. Tithing opens up an avenue for God to bless you supernaturally. So why would you pass that by? Why would you pass that up? It's a promise, right? It's a promise. You can begin walking in that truth. Hang on to that truth. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10 says, we are to bring all the tithes to God. It also says, by doing so, God is going to open up the windows of heaven and bless you. He's going to bless you to such an extent that you won't be able to contain it all. That's a promise. I believe it. And trust me, you really don't want to hang on to anything that truly belongs to God. That's just not wise. Just let him have it. Give it where it should go. Don't hang on to God's stuff. Leviticus 27:30 declares, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." All of it. And I tell you, real tithing is done with the heart and with the mouth in faith. It's not just drop a check in the offering basket. See, God's people were commanded to bring their first fruits and to remember how God had delivered them out of bondage. It was a joint task. You're going to remember him with your first fruits, and you're going to be thankful and remember how he brought you out of bondage, and they were to worship him and rejoice for all the good that God had given him. That's why it's very appropriate around our worship time that we have that time of offering where we give our tithes. Very important that we don't miss that it's not, again, just a transfer of funds from your account to his account, but that it is an honor, a way that you honor him for what he has done in your life. Whatever we do, it must be in obedience and in faith to God for God to be pleased with it. So everything we do toward God, it must come out of our heart. Otherwise, it doesn't count. So don't do it grudgingly. All right? We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We are to give with a willing heart as an honor to God, as a way of worshiping him. And when we do, he joins us in partnership. And he becomes involved in our finances. Tithing is supernatural. I don't understand exactly how it all works. I just know that it's a supernatural thing God made promises for. And if that's all I have to understand, that's good enough for me. Don't miss out on the supernatural benefits. God has an interest in your finances. I'm telling you, he desires to prosper you. He desires to bless you because he loves you. And it's so easy for us to understand if you have kids. You know, we have kids. We want our kids to do well. We want them to do really well. We want them to be blessed far beyond what we are. And I tell you, God has that same desire for you. He wants you to do well. Number 5, sowing. After the tithe, we're to sow according to what the Lord lays on our heart. And of course, we're to do it with the right attitude. Be a cheerful giver. Be a cheerful giver. The Hebrew word for offering comes from a root word that really means to draw nigh. I find that very interesting. We draw close to God when we give. When we give offerings. Galatians plainly says, you reap what you sow. And 2 Corinthians says, if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. Do you think these scriptures might apply to prosperity? Oh, well, yeah. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. And we are to sow. If you desire to be a receiver, you have to be a giver. Now, I know there are some people who say, I'm more than happy to give. I don't have to receive anything. I say, you're foolish. Because what God is looking for are people that he can bless so that they can bless others. You cannot bless somebody if you don't have a blessing to give. This whole prosperity thing is certainly not about you. And I think that's where a lot of prosperity teaching goes awry. The purpose of God prospering you is not so that you can just live high on the hog and forget about the rest of the world. The purpose of God prospering you is so that you can be a blessing to others, so that you can help those who are in need, so that you can influence those who need to be influenced in a godly way. Man, oh man, I hope you want to be a receiver. You're missing out if you're not. You're missing out on God's desire for you to prosper, because you can be part of somebody else's prospering. You can be the helper that they need in the time of their greatest need. But you can't if you don't have anything to give. So, again, I'm all for prosperity, because I know prosperity in the hands of a true believer who is walking in the truth and who is faithful to God and diligent and all of those things, those funds are just going to be used for amazing things, godly things, not for evil. I tell you, God can trust a person who is faithful, who is basing their life on His truth, who are obedient and walking in that truth. God can trust you with it, and He's more than willing to give it when He can trust you. So give and receive. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4:13. The last thing, believing. Basically, having faith in these things that we've just been talking about. Doing something about it. The Bible says several times, the just shall live by faith. Now, I've seen a lot of heads nodding as I've been speaking these five previous items. You agree. Yeah, that's right. There's truth in what I'm saying. Well, then let us believe it. Let us begin to walk in that faith. The just shall live by faith. Abraham was blessed because he lived by faith. The right way to prosperity is through faith, by believing. Again, not by some get-rich-quick scheme, not by trying to finagle something on the side. No, it's by believing God's word. Believing it and walking it. We're supposed to live by faith. Galatians 3:9 says, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Was Abraham blessed? Amen. Was he blessed in a way of prosperity? He was very prosperous. I want to be blessed along with believing Abraham by faith. Faith must be in two places. It needs to be in your heart. It needs to be in your mouth. I mean, that's why Romans 10:8 says, the word is near you. It's actually quoting a scripture from Deuteronomy. It said, in fact, I'll read it. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That's the part from Deuteronomy. And then there's a little clarification in parentheses. It says, that is the word of faith which we preach. That's why I say faith has to be in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. Believing in your heart and saying with your mouth has amazing power. So begin to talk faith talk. A chicken foot you wave around in the air and something special is going to happen if you just say it. No, it's not some magic talisman. But it has an effect on you. It bolsters your faith as you begin to speak what God has spoken to you. It bolsters and reminds you of God's goodness intended towards you. So not only hear, read, and believe those scriptures, but begin to speak those scriptures. Begin to speak the truth that you know God's desire is for you. Mark 11:23 says this. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. You need to put the word in your eyes. Read it. You need to put the word in your ears. You need to hear it. You need to let it get down into your heart. And I mean in abundance. so that it's just rooted there. They're available for you to draw on all the time, and then it's going to come out of your mouth. It'll come out of your mouth in faith-filled words, and it's going to change your life and your circumstances. The only thing that stands between us and walking in the dream that God has for us is knowing what's in the book and doing it, remaining faithful to His Word and being diligent to observe it, diligent in our own work, engaging God in covenant with the tithes and the offerings that we give, and also believing in our hearts and confessing with our mouth the truth of His Word. If you do these things, you will establish a foundation for the prosperous life that God truly desires for you. Oh, I want you to prosper in all things. Amen? I know your pastor does. He wants you to prosper in all things. What are those things again? One, walking in truth. Two, faithfulness. Three, diligence. Four, sowing or tithing. Four is tithing. Five is sowing. Six is believing. Hallelujah. Let us go forth and prosper the right way. Amen.
His name, another Savior.